From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Hey, Jimmy Smith went to the Pride of the Jaguars yesterday, Tony. Don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Pretty emotional ceremony.
It was.
And everyone left.
I will not soon forget the Jimmy's reaction when that banner came down.
It's instantaneous, right? Yeah. As soon as the banner fell, he lost it. That was it.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't compose himself yesterday. So, unfortunately, that was the highlight. We suspected it might be yesterday, and it came to pass that it was. Jags could not beat a very beatable Minnesota Viking team, who scored 25 points on them, hit a number of big plays. With an offense that never hits big play, rarely hits big plays.
It was a day where for three quarters they looked like they were playing a very mediocre game against a very mediocre football team.
Sure.
I mean, that's what it looked like. They were going toe-to-toe with the kind of average NFL football team, and then the fourth quarter they just got beat. I mean, they just flat-out got beat. And I know it was something that some fans were critical of me last week for saying, I'm not sure that we know all the problems that we have with this football team. I don't know how good the defense really is because they don't get pushed, because how bad the offense is. And I think in a game yesterday, you're talking about a Vikings team who basically can't get out of their way offensively. That was, they were 2 yards and an extra point missed away from 40. That Minnesota Vikings team.
Two shots at the goal line.
Right. And look, to the Jaguars' credit, they made the plays.
Sure.
Right? Like, they made the goal line stop. They forced the fumble down on the goal line. Like, they made those plays. But that's how close that was to being that kind of football game yesterday. Giving up big plays to the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, that can't happen.
Not getting a single sack of Sam Bradford, although the unique Ngakoue play, I think, should be ruled a sack.
Yeah, the fumble.
Yeah. Although, I think, as of the end of the game, they just rule it. A tackle forced fumble, clearly, to me, it should be a sack. Maybe there's some rule about not allowing a sack on a play in which a pass was completed. Because
there's no lost yardage.
Boy, but...
Because a sack has to be behind the line of scrimmage, so that may be what
right,
it is.
Right, but he knocked the ball out behind the line of scrimmage. Like, if Unique Ngakoue makes the same exact play, right, slaps the ball out of Sam Bradford's hand, and a Jaguar recovers it, right there.
It's a sack,
right? Yeah. So the fact that Bradford recovered it, well, he's recovering a fumble that was caused via the sack. The sack, in both instances, does not bring the quarterback to the ground necessarily. But if you slap the ball out of a quarterback's hand and someone picks it up and runs in, you get credit for a sack and a forced fumble on the play. So I don't. It doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. I'm just, you know, for Unique's sake, for the season-ending statistics, it may matter a little bit. So obviously we'll put a post-mortem on yesterday. And our question today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is this. I know a lot of people think like this, and I think it's a valid way to think. It's up to you as a fan. Some fans are like, hey, I'm going to root for my team to win every single week. In the big picture, what do you want your team to win? You want them to win a championship, right? So whatever goes towards achieving that goal can be seen as something that's for the greater good. And so our question today is, and maybe you're well past this point, and some of the reactions are, hey, I've been this way for a while, but we know they're out of the playoff chase, and yes, they have three divisional games to go, and they could play spoiler, and maybe that's important to you, and that's fine. But we ask you, are you at the point where you would prefer the Jags actually at this point just lose the rest of their games to ensure the highest possible draft position? You know, somebody said, well, no, because as long as Dave Caldwell's the GM, we're not going to have good picks anyway. It's always better to have a higher draft, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who's making the pick. It's always better to have more people to choose from because even if they blow the first-round pick, you're getting a higher pick in every subsequent round as well. The one that killed you yesterday was how did San Fran blow a 17-0 lead to the Bryce Petty-led Jets yesterday, and they lose it in overtime. They get to overtime on a 50-yard field goal by Nick Folk. That was a gut-wrenching one.
So you're 1-12.
From the draft standing standpoint, Tony, you know, could have
maybe 49ers fans were cheering.
Maybe they were. I wouldn't doubt it. You know what? The three that attended that game, did you see that crowd?
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. Brutal. Brutal. By the way, who took Tyler Devitt's headset? That's what we need to know. I know it's likely not someone in the listening audience. Well, it could be someone in the listening audience, but it eliminates most people in the listening audience because most people in the listening audience do not work at 1010XL and do not have access to the locker area.
and I will kill you.
You damn right. All right. We don't put locks on those lockers for a reason, because we trust people. Okay. Do we have to live in this kind of world where we go to 1010XL and we have to lock up our own personal equipment for fear of someone taking it and not returning it? To me, that's called thievery. Stealing.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, if you ask permission to borrow someone's personal equipment, there are a few headsets that lay around there that if you're, you know, you forget yours at home or what have you, you can always use one. And honestly, most people don't even mind if you use their own personal one if they don't have it locked up, as long as you return it. Hey, whoever took it, we're looking for you, okay? We'll set up some security cameras, and you're going to try to sneak back in the dead of night. We will catch you with that, all right? Enough of that. 641-1010 if you want to get in today. Tyler's giving the whooping, by the way, to David Garrard.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's giving the beating. Yeah. Have you seen that score? What are you up, like 70, right? He's got four guys left, but he's got a kicker, a defense, and Martellus Bennett is one of his guys, and he has not been going off. I think you're pretty safe. You feeling pretty good about that one, Tyler?
I picked up the Falcons D at 11:30 yesterday.
Wasn't that a great play by you? Great play by anybody who played the Falcons defense yesterday, whether out of desperation or any other reason. Fantastic play, because their defense stinks, quite frankly. But apparently Jared Goff stinks more. And the apparently, Rams, middle school offense.
I won my matchup in the playoff in the second listener league.
I saw you did as a
six seed.
Yeah, close one.
And that's,
pretty close one.
Well, Melvin Gordon.
You have him in both leagues?
Yeah.
I like that.
I have him in a ton of leagues, man.
I like that. Like, I don't.
The Melvin Gordon news, I was like, oh,
I'm not happy that Melvin Gordon's hurt. I'm happy that since he's hurt, you're the one who owns him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where we stand.
We'll see
needless to say, Tony, in all the leagues I had Le'Veon Bell, I seemed to do well yesterday. And I own him in a lot of leagues.
I had a friend of mine that was in a playoff matchup. He said that he just pulled up his score, and he was like, oh, no. Like, it was just like 4:30, he pulled up his score. He's like, uh-oh, I have a feeling I know who this guy had in his lineup. And sure enough, Le'Veon Bell in that league was worth like 62.
Oh, yeah. Most leagues, he was about 51 points
worth.
But whatever the case, I own him in 6 of the 10 leagues that I'm alive in. And I'm still alive. Hey, imagine that. With Le'Veon Bell dropping a thermonuclear fantasy bomb yesterday. All right. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010 again on the phone lines. Also, the text line driven by Duval Ford. Our social media question of the day presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships is, are you at the point where you'd rather the Jaguars lose out to secure the best possible draft pick? Yes, no, why not? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll hear some post-game audio. Yes, we will, because that's what we do here from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles throughout. John Osier will join us, and we will commiserate with you on Jaguar football, the state of Jaguar football. And now at 2-11, Gus Bradley chasing 50 losses in 4 seasons as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mainly because this city, the owner Shad Khan, and these fans, my teammates, recognize what I've done in my career. I think it starts here before we go to the Hall of Fame. So that's why this is even more important than a Hall of Fame nomination or anything like that.
That's Jimmy Smith. I understand what he's saying. I don't believe in his heart of hearts he thinks that's the case. If you had a choice, Tony, to go up in the pride of the Jaguars or be enshrined in Canton, Ohio, as a member of the Professional Football Hall of Fame for all time,
I think there's one that if you get that, it's pretty much a lock that you're going to get the other.
You're probably going to get the other one, right. Yeah. The other one would come along with it. But regardless, I get it. Jimmy's, you know, he's playing it to the fan base a little bit. Maybe he even believes in that moment with the emotions coursing through him that that's the way he feels about it. I think given time to think about that and given a choice between the two, it might not go that way. He doesn't have that choice, though. He's not a Hall of Fame semifinalist. Maybe he will be one day. It's a great honor for him to go up and see his name on the stadium, and it was cool to see as many teammates come out. Hey, Aiken Adele, if you're listening right now, you can't wait 2 minutes.
I know.
You pop your head in the door. We used to hang out with Aiken all the time back in the day. He pops his head in the door. I think he might. He's probably with T.J. Slaughter, if I'm not mistaken. He's with a couple of other guys.
I think it was Slaughter and Quinn Gray. I think it looked
okay.
Like.
I couldn't from my angle. I couldn't see everybody. I could see Aiken pop his big smiling bald head in the room yesterday, and I give him the signal. Like I think he thought I was saying, "Hey, peace, brother." No, I was saying, "Wait 2 minutes, and I'll come talk to you as soon as we get out of this segment." But they shuffled him off somewhere else, and that's just the way it went. So it was cool to see all the different guys here in town.
It was
Jimmy's induction yesterday. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. If you want to get on board, talk about any aspect of Jaguar football. The question of the day is, once again, are you at the point where you want to see the Jags lose out to improve their draft position or hold the best possible draft position? This is the only issue I have with this. I think you can be on either side of this and still consider yourself a real fan. If you're a fan who says, you know what, I want them to win every single game, that's fine. Okay? If you're a fan who says the big picture for me is winning a championship, and I think the best way to achieve that, now that we're out of the playoff picture this year, is to improve our draft stock now, that's fine as well. It's just a different point of view. Here's one from Scott at SV Adams. He says, no way, I'm a fan, and a fan wants to see their team perform well and win. Losing sucks. Sorry, you can't define what a fan is. That's how you interpret being a fan. Yeah. And that's fine for you. But win is not necessarily win some games in December when you're already eliminated. Win, to a lot of people, is win it all. Win big. Contend for championships. And to do that, you have to have the best roster possible. And look, I'm not saying that having the second pick compared to the third pick compared to the fourth pick is any guarantee of success, but it does give you a shot at a larger player pool, right? Every time around.
Yeah.
Imagine if you picked one pick later last year, you love Jalen Ramsey now, you might not have had Jalen Ramsey available to you, right? So it's like that. I mean, you can miss out on a guy you think, by the way, DeForest Buckner is having a really nice season.
No, he is. Joey Bosa has been really, really good.
Right, he got a concussion yesterday, yeah. But he has been outstanding.
No, like, I know, having been in that position as a fan before, where you got a team that's lousy and you know they're lousy, and you know, for me, it was when I was younger and the Giants were terrible. They had nothing at the quarterback position. They were in a position to maybe, if they kept losing at the end of a season, maybe we are going to get a top five pick, and that puts us in a spot where we can get one of a couple guys. And that year was, you know, Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning were the guys that everyone was talking about. So it's, we can be in position to get one of these guys if we keep losing. And I knew that in the back of my head, but still every week when they kicked it off, once they start playing football, it's like, man, I don't want to watch them lose. You know, it's, and I get that part of it,
too. That's fine,
too. Yeah, you know, where in the, you know what's best probably for the football team in the long run, but still in the short term, you're like, I'm just tired of watching this team lose football games.
That's what Stevie Irish Jaguar said this morning. He goes, you know, logically throughout the week when I take emotion out of it, I know that the more losses pile up, the better position whoever's making those decisions is going to be in. But then when the game kicks off, you know, I don't want to watch
you take a lead into the fourth quarter against Minnesota. You don't want to see them blow it.
I don't think there's a wrong answer to this other than to say this is how everyone should feel because I feel this way. I think that's the wrong answer. But if you I'm just curious on what side of the fence you fall on right now. All right, let's get some calls in. And they're coming from outside the area. But nevertheless, they are listening to Jaguars today. Brandon in Roanoke, Virginia.
All right.
Checking in first at 6-4-1-10-10 this morning. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
All right. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm a Jags fan up here in Virginia, man. Ain't many up here.
All right, what can we do for you?
I just want to ask you guys, do you think it'd be a good idea just to bring Bradley back for the defensive coordinator role? You know, maybe keep everybody together because you know it was a pretty good coordinator.
No. You can't absolutely can't do that. It's not because it has nothing to do with Gus Bradley's coaching acumen. You cannot take the former head coach and keep him in the locker room or keep him in the organization, Tony. Can't do it.
No.
Cannot do it. Because then you're going to have Gus guys who say, hey, Gus got a raw deal. He's hanging around. You're going to have – no. It splits loyalties, allegiances. Plus, I mean, again, I don't think Gus is – they need a clean break from Gus Bradley, right? 14-47, he's maybe on his way to 14-50. And he'll hold the record for the worst – coaching winning percentage in league history for coaching that many games, and no one's ever going to take it from him because no one's ever going to get an opportunity to be that bad for that long a period of time again.
No.
The circumstances that went into conspiring to give Gus Bradley 4 full years here in Jacksonville are very difficult to duplicate, And odds are, if you got those same 4 years, you do better than 14 wins. Almost any coach would do better than 14 wins. So no, you can't bring Gus Bradley when he's gone. He's out of the organization. Thanks for your service. But no, you absolutely cannot do that. Now, could you bring Todd Wash back? Yeah, you could do that.
Depending on the coach.
Right, depending on the coach. If it's an offensive coach, he says, hey, I like what they're doing defensively. Why don't I keep him in place? Maybe a key assistant or two underneath him. You could do that. You could do that if it were the offense that was flourishing and brought in the defensive-minded coach. You could do something at the coordinator level. You could not. You don't retain the head coach in that circumstance. It's just a recipe for disaster. Brandon, thank you for the call. Let's go to Andrew in Arlington next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I was at the game yesterday. Tough loss, but it was defensively, it was a lot of fun to watch. That being said, that's what I want to see the rest of the season. I want to see plays happen. That strip by Ngakoue, I want to see plays like that. I want to see Jalen Ramsey get a pick six. I want to see us fall out and have some big plays, but I want us to lose every game the rest of the season, because I think the best recipe for this team is to get another, you know, top 50 talent in the first 2-3 rounds. What's better than one Jalen Ramsey, one Miles Jack, one Ngakoue is three more of them. So that's what I'd like to see the rest of the season.
All right, I got you. Because you're looking beyond just, hey, let's not just concern ourselves with the pick in the top three or the top five or wherever it ends up being. You're going to be picking in that slot or close to it, depending on how many teams are tied with a similar record with you at the top of the second round, top of the third round. And as shown, Ngakoue is a third-round pick. He's come in. He's been an impact player right away. I mean, you should, on a team that wins two games, Tony, or a max of five, right, in the best-case scenario, the most rosy scenario possible, you win five, there are a lot of holes to fill, and you should get significant contributions from your first three-round selections, and the higher they are, the better. I like what you're saying there, Andrew, in terms of I do want to see some of these young core guys that we know are part of the nucleus continue to make plays or start to make plays. I mean, heck, you got to get your hands on the ball to have a pick, never mind a pick six, right? The Jags don't get their hands on enough balls defensively out there because the pressure isn't there consistently. So, yeah, I'd like to see that pressure get ramped up with Ngakoue. I'd like to see Fowler show up with some consistent pressure on the quarterback, or anybody else for that matter.
Yeah, and look, it's going to be a storyline throughout the offseason of just how much are the two young pass rushers on this team going to grow up with another offseason to get better. And look, that's going to be part of the storyline, and whoever's making the decisions, if it's Dave Caldwell or somebody else about this football team, I still have big questions about their ability to rush the passer right now. And I'm not saying that I don't think Ngakoue and Fowler could turn out to be good players. I'm saying they're not playing at a level yet where I feel confident.
Understood.
About it. So I think it is something that we still need to look at going forward. And as far as the game this week, watching them play Minnesota yesterday, and it felt like, first of all, there were three reviews in that game that all went the Jaguars' way. And I can't ever remember a football game where that happened. With the fourth down review where they said that indeed Asiata didn't get in, the review of the first down for T.J. Yeldon right there in the last 2 minutes, and then the review on the fumble down by the goal line. All three of them went the Jaguars' way. So it felt like they got a lot of the breaks. Maybe not all the breaks, but a lot of the breaks yesterday. And Ngakoue knocks a ball to the ground from behind the quarterback, and they tip a ball that's up in the air for, it felt like, an eternity. And the guy's just, because Cyprian's just running instead of looking at where the play is going to be, but just running, and nobody makes a play on that ball. It's like there were these opportunities in that football game yesterday about all these things that we've been talking about defensively that they haven't done. And they were there to be had in yesterday's game, and still they just weren't able to take advantage of a couple of those chances. And who knows? I mean, maybe just that Bradford fumble would have been enough.
Might have been.
In a game like yesterday, but instead, Jaguars 2016, and Ngakoue knocks it out of his hand, and Bradford picks it up and completes
it. Calmly picks it up, just like nobody's business. Now, I'll say this about Fowler, like for people that may be losing patience with Dante Fowler, how many people are losing patience with Marquise Lee, right, for
sure,
the last 2 years? And I get it's a different scenario, Fowler's playing, but he is coming off a torn ACL, okay? It's his first season playing in the National Football League. Tony, we took so many calls from people. We said they were crazy at the time, but people legitimately were saying we should get rid of Marquise Lee right now. He's never going to be healthy. He's never going to be any good. What a bust of a pick by Caldwell. No. Sorry, he is not a bust of a pick, and he is a talented guy, and, it's not his – he didn't desire to get hurt. He got hurt. It's unfortunate. Some guys seem to get hurt more than others. But
yeah.
Healthy this year, he's been the Jags' best offensive player. So just I'm not saying everyone's on that island of, hey, we got a Fowler's a bust already, but I'm guarantee you some people are. And just pump the brakes a little on that and remember the case of Marquise Lee if you can. Let's get Frank on the west side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning. I want them to lose the rest of the games because I think they need the highest draft choices they can get for whatever reason. I also think the most important acquisition that they're going to make this offseason or whatever is going to be either a general manager or a coach. It is going to be very important that someone could look at this team or paint it with broad strokes, and because something's wrong. It literally makes us sick to watch this offense right now. I mean, some of us literally get sick trying to watch this football team, and we're not alone. We watch the national shows, and they joke about the Jaguars. How long can this go on? How long can this go on and just analyze this, whatever it is that they put on the field on the offensive side every Sunday? It is not even close. Can this team go up to Foxborough and compete like in December now or next year or in 3 years? Absolutely not. Bring in a whole new person that knows something about the NFL and can look at this team objectively and find out where you need to improve and do it with broad strokes. No, I don't want to say the word, but no petty footing.
All right, good. Thank you. We appreciate that, Frank. In that context, you probably would have been all right saying that. But anyway, we appreciate you self-censoring there. Yeah, they do. I'm not disagreeing with what Frank says. Now, you know, it's not just the offense. Yesterday, as Ron O'Halloran is on a little Twitter spree right now, points out 12 missed tackles yesterday by the defense.
Yep.
They had 14 in the previous 3 weeks. Okay. I mean, that's the thing. You look at Cyprian's totals. If you just look at the box score, you're like, wow, Cyprian was everywhere, man. And then you look at blown coverage and missed tackles, and you're like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was Telvin yesterday, too. I can remember two occasions. Telvin got shook in the middle of the field, and it was like, whoa.
On that little crossing route?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who was it that got spun by Asiata? Asiata put a spin move on somebody in the open field, and I was like, you can't get spun.
No, I'm trying. I remember the run. I can't remember who it was.
Someone will let us know.
Plus, Lesney had somebody dead to rights. 4 yards deep in the backfield.
Yeah, that was on that second down.
Right. And yeah. And look, he came back and made the tackle like two
on
plays
third,
later
yeah.
on third down. So it was a no harm, no foul kind of situation. But that just seemed like it was, you know, indicative of the way the day was
yeah.
going.
He's
for
had
him
a couple
yesterday.
Of those the last couple weeks.
Yeah. 12 is way too many. 14 penalties for 114 yards, way too many. Too many things went wrong in too many phases yesterday. Frank, appreciate the call. There does need to be a reckoning for this roster. There's no question about it. All right, we got to take a time out here past the bottom of the hour. If you're on the line, stay right there at 641-1010. We'll come back, get more of your thoughts on the Jags. John Osher about 35 minutes away, maybe 30 minutes away if I can do math, something like that. He's coming up from Jaguars.com in roughly a half an hour. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's Tuesday's Talk with 88. Alan Hearns joins Dan and Jeff on the Drill Tuesday morning. Brought to you by Body Armor Natural Sports Drink and the Construction Law and Litigation Attorneys, Regan, Whalen, Zabuni, and Atwood. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I don't know if he's listening to the program and tweeting accordingly. We were talking about 10 minutes ago, maybe 15 minutes ago, about Gus Bradley and his winning percentage or mm-hmm. losing percentage, whatever you want to describe it as. Ryan O'Halloran tweeted out in that moment that Gus has already locked up. If he wins out, he'll still have the worst winning percentage of any coach who's coached 60 games in the National Football League. Cannot catch David Shula. Cannot pass David Shula at this point in time. It's unfortunate. That's the case. That's where we stand in 2016 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. My guess is that he doesn't win out, actually, Tony.
I think that's a pretty solid guess.
That's just my guess at this point.
That the race to 50.
After losing 8 in a row, the Jags will not win their final 3. I'm not thinking that will be the case for them right now. But Gus right now sporting a 230 winning percentage, 23%. He's lost 77% of the time. Tomorrow is 1 year anniversary of the last time you saw a victory by the Jags on hallowed ground here at EverBank.
Only one more shot.
Right. So it'll be beyond a calendar year by that point in time. If they don't beat the Titans in a couple weeks,
there'll be another nine
months.
It's
going to be a long time coming as far as that goes.
At least 21 months.
Mm-mm-mm. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms, pretty much everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Visit gunsforjacks.com for convenient online shopping, or stop by South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777. That's Wild West Guns and Gold at 693-0777, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back to the phone lines we go at 641-1010. Gene in Mandarin is next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, buddy. What's good up?
Hey, I just wanted to know from you guys, get your perspective on this. Do you think that the Jags need to make a splash in the next upcoming draft and get one of these young mobile quarterbacks out of the upcoming draft? How do you guys feel about that?
I don't think it has to be a mobile quarterback. I don't think – look, the issue I think that you're in right now is there a quarterback worthy of taking in one of those spots? There may well be, Tony. I mean, you could have said, hey, if people had known what Dak Prescott would turn into,
sure,
they would have taken him a lot earlier. So certainly he has played like that. But you also have your Connor Cooks that come along, your Christian Hackenbergs that come along. And I'm not saying – smart teams necessarily take them, but the Raiders are in pretty good shape. They don't look like they've been dumb in putting the roster together. They selected Connor Cook above Dak Prescott. Who knows? Maybe Connor Cook turns out to be the long-term better guy. This is not a class that's talked about with a lot of surefire quarterback talent.
No, and I think what Loggeman said last week, I tend to agree with him. In the position that the Jaguars are in, if you evaluate the quarterbacks and you think one of them's worth a top five pick and you're picking three, then you pick them.
Sure.
And having Bortles would not stop me from making that kind of decision if that's what you're getting at as the caller. I think trying to determine whether or not there's anybody in this draft that is worthy of being that kind of selection is a more difficult question. And you're talking about guys like Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson. I know Deshaun Kizer is getting some love now, but that's mostly around Cleveland because he is a Notre Dame guy. So I think people are trying to tie those two things together, which is a little silly.
I don't see that being a top of the first round guy.
But I have seen him mocked, you know, top 10.
I have as well. I just
I don't get it either.
He scares me.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And honestly, I'm not all that impressed with Deshaun Watson, and guys like Mitch Trubisky scare me to death.
What, because of the small sample size?
Because it's 1 year playing in that kind of offense,
yeah.
And I just don't know how easy it is to evaluate that guy projecting to the next level. Now, look, you hire a general manager because they have to make the right decision on those, and that's
right.
Why we're talking about potentially the whole thing getting turned over in Jacksonville, because right now it appears that they didn't make the right decision with a top five pick at the quarterback position. And when you don't make the right decision in that kind of position at the quarterback spot, things change. That's the reality in this league, and we just went over Gus Bradley's record. It seems virtually impossible for him to be back, but the guys outside of that making the decision, we just don't know what it's going to look like come the second week of January. Right,
if you had a better coaching, okay, all season long,
mm-hmm,
or for the last 4 years,
okay,
I'm not going to say Belichick because that's unrealistic, but I don't know, like a top 10, bottom of the top 10 coaches, whoever that is. John Harbaugh, maybe he's even higher than that. You know,
whatever, just
a really good NFL coach. Maybe Jim Caldwell up in Detroit.
Solid,
I don't know.
Whatever.
Solid guy.
Yeah.
What do you think their record would be? Guessed. I mean, we don't know. This impossible game to
with
play.
With the coaching changing?
Just in general, how much improvement? I'm not asking you to give me specific which games would they have won compared to which ones they would have lost.
If you're talking just solid compared to Belichick, probably two.
Two more games this year.
Two, maybe three.
Overall, though, over a four-year period, maybe close to 10 wins possible?
Probably something like
that. It's something like that, right? So my point in saying that is I do think the talent on this roster has not matched the record.
I do think
if you had the right coach, if you had Belichick, for instance, with the exact same personnel, utilize them to their utmost.
If this was the fourth year under Belichick,
they'd be leading the division.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the talent, there's enough talent there, even with Blake not having a good year at quarterback, having a bad year at quarterback. However, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, however you want to say it. So I wonder, that's, and I think that's why I look at it and think that there's still a good percentage likelihood that Dave Caldwell is retained and that Gus Bradley's not. And we don't know. We'll find out in 3 weeks. I mean, yeah. 3 weeks from today, we probably know a lot more than we know right now. But, you know, I think it's, as Tony said, it's absolutely under consideration. Drafting a quarterback, everything's under consideration right now. There's nothing that's off the table as far as I'm concerned with the draft pick. You know, I found it interesting. I asked Tony and Jeff yesterday, Tony Boselli, Jeff Logman, on the pregame, said out of all these guys, take the quarterback out of it. Out of all the guys who were gathered for the alumni weekend, in his prime, put him on this roster, who helps the most? They both said Fred Taylor. Absolutely, Fred Taylor, because he takes so much pressure off the offense. Well, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, one of those guys, maybe both of those guys would be available to you.
Probably.
Maybe that's the way you go, honestly. You know what I mean? You could talk about the offensive line, and there are a lot of ways you can go. You could talk about Jonathan Allen in Alabama, who gets mocked to the Jags incessantly, the defensive tackle. I'm not saying those are bad options either. You can, at times, find great running backs later in the draft. Le'Veon Bell's a second-round pick. David Johnson's a third-round pick. You can find them. I'm not saying those type guys are in this draft, but it's been proven that at that position, you find gems all throughout the draft. But it's also, from time to time, you know, some of those guys you take near the top are justified. I mean, I don't think anybody's complaining to Dallas about the selection of Ezekiel Elliott.
No, and I think it's that kind of pick that it makes it kind of in vogue to do it again. You know, like Dallas is one to do it, and it works. So the next year there are going to be teams that are picking in the top 10 that it's no longer, you know, you just don't take a running back in the top 10. Now, we don't know. I mean, nobody in this draft is necessarily Ezekiel Elliott. So we'll see when everything is said and done.
Some people think Leonard Fournette's the best talent since Adrian Peterson
came
down the line.
Some people do. Look, I think right now if you were to ask me if the Jaguars picking number 3 took Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette, would I be upset with it? No.
I wouldn't either. Right. No. That's kind of the point. All right. Let's get Jason in Orange Park up next. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, all right. Two things real quick. For the rest of the season, what I'd like to see is them evaluating players that don't normally get snaps. Take some of the backup players, give them actual play time, and see what their value would be for next year. After that, I would say in the off season, we don't need to draft another rookie and expect them to pick up and lead us to the Super Bowl. I mean, we've destroyed so many rookie quarterback careers. We need a veteran, and I was thinking, what's y'all's take on taking a serious look at Tony Romo?
I'd have no problem with that. If, you know, again, we don't know who's going to be making these decisions, but if they decided, you know what, let's hang on to Blake, let's see if we can salvage something out of him. Let's have him, because you got to have a backup scenario in that case as well. He's already under contract. It's a guaranteed contract. If you want to bring in Tony Romo, if Tony Romo would be willing to come here, and under what scenario? Is he a free agent? Do the Cowboys cut him? If they don't cut him, what are they looking for? What are you willing to give to a guy who clearly is an injury risk, significant injury risk at this point in time? And what would the Cowboys want? But if you could work all that out, would I be opposed to Tony Romo? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
No.
Give me a healthy Tony Romo this year, Tony, and they're in the division lead, I think. No, I think this year with no other change. Just give me a healthy, and that's a problem. Would Tony Romo be healthy on this team if he takes too many sacks? I don't know if he would. You got to be able to protect him.
No, you absolutely do. And the issue, and I know Romo's going to be a name that we're going to hear a lot over the course of the next month or two, and I understand it because it's going to come up. From a Cowboys perspective, they got $19.5 million dead cap with Tony Romo next year. So what they're going to do with Tony is a big question going into the offseason with Dak Prescott. They could just choose to keep him and pay him as the backup quarterback. They could do that, and it feels like Tony has handled the situation in Dallas so well that I think they're going to do right by Romo, and if Tony says, yeah, if you want to trade me, I'm okay with being traded, but you're going to trade me here or here.
Right.
And try to work it out with those two teams and kind of have that conversation behind closed doors about what they can work out. I'm not sure how high on any list like that Jacksonville would be for a guy like Tony Romo.
I don't think it would be. That's my guess, but the question of upset if they pursue him?
Jaguars be interested? Sure.
Go after him. Right. I mean, he's in the mix, absolutely. No question about it. I think you're right. I mean, there's been talk Denver would be his preferred destination. They feel like, you know, solid quarterback play, could get them back to
and
another
it's out
Super
of the
Bowl.
Conference, so I could see Dallas doing that.
I could too. And also Dallas, I think, saves money if they outright release him. I think as much as like $9 million compared to if they trade him. So if that's the case, Tony Romo's going to choose the team that gives him the best chance to win, I would suspect, at this stage of his career, because the money's going to be the same wherever he goes, I would think. All right, we got to take a timeout. Come back. This Dayton football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. John Osier will join us from Jaguars.com. It's Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. Let's go back to December 12th, 1965. Gale Sayers, pretty good ball player from what I've heard.
Not bad.
Yeah, he was the last one prior to Tyreek Hill to score on a rushing, receiving, and return touchdown. That's not what he did on this day. Actually, it might have been. He scored six touchdowns on this day. That probably was the game he did it.
I think he did.
Tied the NFL record in 1965. In 1969, well, I just think about how much shorter the season used to be. The Jets won the Super Bowl on this date, became the first AFL team to win the Super Bowl, knocking off Baltimore 16-7 back in Super Bowl III. Famous birthdays for this date include in 1967, John Randall, longtime NFL defensive tackle, seven-time Pro Bowler, six-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2010. Zeus was born in this date in 1970. Orlando Brown passed away in 2011. From diabetic ketoacidosis at the age of 41. Remember, he was a guy that the referee threw the flag at him, hit him in the eye, subsequently missed the 2000, 2001, 2002 season, sued the league for $200 million, and settled for an undetermined amount, said to be somewhere between $15 and $20 million. 1981, Ronnie Brown was born on this date. He turns 35 years old. The former second overall pick by the Miami Dolphins in 2005, made the Pro Bowl once in his career, had over 7,000 career yards from scrimmage, and quarterback watch, born on this date in 1989, soon to be NFL free agent, Mike Glennon brings his 6'7" frame to the free agent market. He is 27 years old today, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
San Diego running back Melvin Gordon will undergo an MRI today to determine the extent of a hip injury that he suffered yesterday during the Chargers' 28-16 loss in Carolina while trying to recover a Phillip Rivers fumble during the first quarter of the game. Team sources said at halftime that Gordon was okay. The MRI today will determine whether Gordon will how much time he may miss of the final three games, if any. Still not sure exactly how that's going to play out, so we'll be watching that, especially all those fantasy owners. Miami quarterback Ryan Tannehill left the game with a knee injury yesterday. It's feared to be a torn ACL, but the team will know more after tests are done today. The Dolphins are 2.5 games behind the Patriots in the AFC East. They are tied for the sixth seed right now with the Denver Broncos at 8-5 in the AFC wildcard race. Detroit quarterback Matthew Stafford severely dislocated the middle finger in his throwing hand, but according to Ian Rappaport, he is expected to try and play with the injury through the rest of the regular season. The Lions have won 5 straight. They hold a 2-game lead over the Vikings and Packers in the NFC North with 3 games to play. And a cut block by Tennessee wide receiver Harry Douglas on Denver cornerback Chris Harris Jr. away from a run play led to a scuffle between the two teams one snap later, and some pointed comments from both Harris and Aqib Talib came out after the game. Chris Harris characterized the hit as one that was trying to end his football career and said that he can't believe Douglas did it. Aqib Talib, he was a little more aggressive in his comments.
It was a dirty play by a sorry player. He don't do nothing. He come to the game, don't catch no passes. He come to the game to chop guys from the back, and he got the same agent as me. So when I see his ass in Atlanta, I'm going to beat his ass.
With a play like that, you saw Chris go down, and it turned out bad, but it could have been a lot worse. Yeah. I'm sure that really irritated
him. Yeah, it don't matter how it went. He tried to do something dirty, so that's why I'm going to beat his ass.
You're not worried about, obviously, fines?
Nah.
That type coming?
Mm-mm.
Were you ready to get ejected at that point?
PR. Thanks, guys. That'll be all.
He said it 3 times. How many more times?
He wasn't from the back. Hey, you're mad? Yeah. Be mad at the league who allows that play. That was a legal play by Harry Douglas, who was right in front of Chris Harris when he dove at his knee. The league allows it. Denver chops everybody. Get over it.
No, I've been
or
saying
change
it
the rule.
For,
sorry.
For years now that the league doesn't care about protecting players. They care about protecting quarterbacks. And now they care about protecting wide receivers and running backs because those guys make money for the league.
And they help the quarterbacks.
Yeah, they don't care. You know, if defensive guys get cut, they don't care. They haven't cared. It's not something that the league has put an emphasis on ever. And we'll see if there's any fines or anything coming out of this one. Also, one more here. Adam Pac-Man Jones, another cornerback, not happy about what happened on Sunday, even though his team won. And he still had some things to say about opposing wide receiver Cleveland Browns Terrell Pryor after the game.
I'm saying all these facades, all this fake hard that he play out on the field. That ain't Terrell Pryor. I checked his background. He's a suburbs kid from Pittsburgh.
I know you talked about it, Adam.
Garbage.
What did that start with right for there, you, no? Terrell?
Garbage.
There you go, right there, bro.
Oh,
there you go. Right
there. You see him in there?
Okay. Right there.
You better find him somebody to play with.
Is it him saying basically he could
garbage? Garbage.
All right, Adam. Aside from Terrell, how big is it for you?
Garbage. I ain't talking about nothing else. I'm happy we won.
All right, cool.
Terrell Pryor, garbage.
Looked into his background.
Oh, you know, look, you're not a tough guy unless you've shot up a club.
Apparently.
I mean, in Pac-Man's world. So that there's that. Honestly, Terrell Pryor got dragged down, not by Pac-Man Jones, but by Robert Griffin III yesterday. Terrell Pryor's been outstanding this year, switching from quarterback to wide receiver. Before we officially welcome in John Osier, let me just point out, people, every time we have this kind of conversation, and unfortunately we've had this kind of conversation way too many times in many, many recent years for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You get to the end of the season and you debate as a fan, should I want them to win because it feels good in the moment? Should I want them to lose because it improves their draft position? I don't think either position makes you a bad fan. Eric on Twitter says, I want the Jags to try to win regardless. If anyone loses on purpose for any reason, they'll always be losers. I'm just holding it in. Okay. I'm not asking whether you want the Jags to try and win the game. Presume that they're going to try. Presume that they've been trying and losing their last eight consecutive games. Your desire to see a particular outcome has no impact on how they actually play. You understand magical thinking does
it
not
does
really
if you
work.
Rub your lucky rock.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, don't rub your lucky rock, I guess, then. I mean, honestly, presume they're going to try to win. They can be competitive trying to win the game. I figure they tried to win yesterday. I don't doubt that they tried to win the game yesterday, but do you think they're just better off getting the loss as the result to improve their draft position? It's not a question of should the Jags try to tank. I don't understand why anyone at this point doesn't get the difference between these two things, because we've discussed this, unfortunately, for years here in Jacksonville. It's not asking should players quit. Of course they're not going to quit. They're playing for their next contract. They're playing to stay here in Jacksonville or stay in the NFL or whatever, or for bonuses or anything like that. So
your head's doing that little red thing it does when you get really angry.
It's just like I don't understand how why you think one necessarily means the other. It doesn't.
I got a question about Lucky Rock Guy and where has he been for the last 9 years? Yeah. Rock Guy, you're letting us
you're
down.
You're not doing a good job,
Lucky
Rock Guy.
They lost it out on Talleyrand and walking into the game.
You need a rarer rock. Something needs to happen. We need change.
All right. John Osher's here. Hello, John Osher.
Good. How are you?
I said, hello, John Osher.
Well,
you replied, good.
Well,
how are you?
I've got to say good because it ain't good. It ain't good. I'm fantastic, Mike.
Good. Good to hear it.
By the way, Super Bowl III played on January 12th, by the way. On your this date in football history?
That's
been eating at me, but it was.
You know what? I did. I grabbed the wrong note. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The wrong year?
I was like, what? No, I didn't know. I grabbed the wrong month. Okay. You go to NFL.com and they've got
which
a
is a big
in,
part
in
of date in
history.
Football history, that month part.
Yeah, well, it is. Obviously, I clicked on the wrong date. You're right about
Super Bowl III.
That did surprise me. Well, seasons were
could
shorter.
Be seen again in a month.
Seasons
Let me tell
were
you what.
Short.
On December 12, 1982, the New England Patriots defeated Miami 3-0 in the infamous snowplow game. Do you know who the snowplow operator was?
I don't.
Go Rubber Rock. It's Mark Henderson.
Yeah, when I hear the name, yeah.
Okay. I just made that up. It's not really Mark Henderson.
Mark Henderson?
See, you just said
Gerald Henderson's brother?
No, it was Mark Henderson. See, I could tell you anything right now.
Ted.
It might have happened on the 11th, for all you know. You don't know. You just don't
I do know.
Know
when the Super Bowl is.
Happy birthday, J.P. Shadrick, though. December 12th. Is
was he born on January 12th, 1969?
Sure. He was born sometime in the next 30 to 31 days. So
I'll bet he would.
There you go. Happy birthday, J.P.
I guess he's happy.
I don't know if he is or not,
yeah.
But I hope he has a happy day now that I've wished him one, now that I realize it's his birthday. Fortunato whispered sweet nothings in my ear. He said, happy birthday, JP.
Well, good for JP.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Not so good for the Jags yesterday.
I tell you.
What was the low point? I mean, the special teams, awful. Penalties, awful.
Well, those kind of tie in together for the I mean,
some of them.
If you take away the special teams penalties.
Five false starts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean.
It was bad all around.
I'm driving in, and I was listening to the first part of the show, and I'm trying to figure out how do you put it in perspective? What do you say about I mean, it's eight in a row, and.
Right.
Bad radio. I get it. But I don't know, you know, no way should this team be 3-11 or 2-11. I just gave them one just for fun. And
it's only week 14, not week 15.
Yeah, and
we have a tendency on this program to skip ahead in time.
Sure, or just skip months. But so it you didn't feel like effort was a problem. You didn't, but you felt like it was again the same game in a sense as the last 6 weeks, where you sort of knew. The thing I couldn't get away from when I was writing it and thinking about it was. You sort of knew early in the fourth quarter, even though they were ahead, that once they lost that lead, you weren't surprised by the 2-3 and outs, were you?
No.
You know, and then you weren't surprised when Minnesota went back and just figured out a way to go ice the game. That's what it's been. Opportunity there, and they just couldn't close it, and that's what they are.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised in that moment in the fourth quarter. I was surprised with the general overall tenor of how many big plays Minnesota hit throughout the game based on their conservative style of offense. Hold the thoughts.
Absolutely.
We're going to take some calls on the other side. We've got John Osier from Jaguars.com. It's December 12th, 2016. We're glad you're with us here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Johnny O is with us from Jaguars.com on Twitter at John Osier. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Phone lines continue to be open at 641-1010. So let's get out to your thoughts here on the Jags, whether it was yesterday's game, final three games of the season. One person weighing in on the question of the day, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you, are you at the point you'd like to see the Jags lose out to get the best possible draft position? He said, no. What I want to see them do is beat Tennessee and spoil the Titans' playoff chances. I think that's a valid answer, too. You can approach this any way you like. Realize we're just not saying that should we ask the Jags to purposely lose games. They're not going to do that. No professional team, well, I'm not saying no professional team's ever done that, but the players usually don't do that. It usually comes from management. We've seen in the NBA, they play guys who they know are lesser players to tank the season. That's not going to be an issue.
Okay? You play to win the game.
And they will do that. The question is, what result are you hoping to get out of that effort, all right?
And there is maybe a little more than your – because there are young core players on this team, meaning Ramsey, Fowler, offensive guys, you can make the argument if they – you know, and I get how this sounds. If they won two of three within the division, knocked a couple of teams off, you could see how that could – give them some belief in what they've been saying the last few weeks, which is that we believe we're good. So on that front, you can see the argument that winning would be good even in the long term.
You don't want a team of players that accepts losing.
Right.
Even if you want them to lose that, you want them to be furious about it. You want them to have that fight. You don't want – it's tough to have an 0-11 stretch hanging over your head going into the offseason if that's where – they're headed. We don't know. Three to play. Let's get out to the phones. Chris in Arlington next up this morning on 1010XL. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, how y'all guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Right on. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the question of the day and whatnot. I don't want the Jags to lose. I mean, I always want them to win. I mean, as a fan, of course, you always want your team to win. And granted, when we come in Monday mornings like this after, you know, eight losses straight, you know, it's kind of difficult on us just as fans, as I assume it is on the team itself and the players. But, I mean, I don't want to see them lose. I don't ever want to see them lose as a fan. I don't know why anybody would ever want that. Granted, I understand.
I'll tell you why. You know the answer because you get a better draft position. That's the whole point of the question. So if you say you don't know the reason why, you may not agree with the reason, but clearly you know the reason why someone would want to lose.
And I understand that, you know, with the draft and everything. But at the same time, the way it's going, we're going to get a decent draft pick regardless. you know, we'll still be in the top ranking for the draft. Not, okay. You know, I'm not going to get top three pick, obviously. You know, if we win a couple more games, we're not going to be third. But still, you know, I mean, we're still going to be in the, you know, we're still going to have a decent draft pick. You know, they're not going to take
what's
got
one. And that's your point of view. I mean, and that's a valid point of view to have, that it's not going to you, it doesn't make that much difference if you're picking third, picking sixth, whatever. You're still going to get a very good pick.
You know what
right?
I mean? I mean, granted, yeah, you know, because granted, the player is going to be there most of the time unless somebody comes in and gets the player that we want. But we don't know which player they want to take off first.
And which is kind of the point of the question, though, isn't it? I mean, if
right.
the guy you know, the higher you pick, the less chance of that happening. So right. I feel like we're going in circles here. Chris wants him to win. That's fine. I appreciate the feedback, John.
Usually, unless it involves quarterback, over time, it all kind of shakes out. If you're picking fourth as opposed to sixth, history shows you've got just as much a chance of a number six pick being a great player as a number four and all. But
historically.
Yeah.
But you don't pick historically. You pick
correct.
In one specific
right.
moment.
If it was a quarterback at the top of the draft, I could make a stronger argument for it. But
see,
I can
and
still
that's
see
the
point.
We don't know.
Sure.
Right? Like,
you still
know. Like Derek Carr went in the second round.
Right.
Right. And right now you'd love to have Derek Carr. A lot of teams would love to have Derek Carr.
Sure.
Well, so who's to say that Mitch Trubisky or DeShone Kizer or any of these guys doesn't turn out to be the next
sure.
guy, you know? And if he goes, you know, it's funny because I do see mock drafts. I see a lot of mock drafts with the Jags picking third where they currently are. And they have
you broke the code. You looked mock draft.
Absolutely. Once they're eliminated from the playoffs, why not? Why shouldn't you? You know, I'm sorry. You know, to me, 5-11, based on what proceeded to get to this point, doesn't impress me.
Sure.
You know, anyway, what I think is funny is it depends on, you know, who's making these decisions, how they feel about Blake
right.
and all these things. But I do see a lot of mocks where it's like Myles Garrett at the top, whoever goes to San Fran. I don't even know sometimes who gets mocked there. But
I see a lot of, like, I've seen Reuben Foster, the inside linebacker out of Alabama, going there.
But what will happen is that they'll have the Jags taking a defensive lineman tackle. And then the very next pick, someone will take a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the Jags, like there's no quarterback worthy of a top three pick, but there's one worthy of a top
right.
four pick, which makes you want, you know, it's just a mock draft. It's just people speculating on what the thought process will be. We don't know if Dave Caldwell is going to be the one making that decision.
Right.
If he is he 100% locked in on Blake
right.
being his guy? Is he? We don't know. So, you know.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's stating the obvious that that's what will be fascinating about the next month and a half.
Let's get Chase in Orange Park up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chase.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure. What's up?
Hey, two things defense-wise. What in the world is going on with Miles Jack? I mean, the couple plays that I really did get to watch him play, he played excellent to me in coverage, had a pass breakup, and if I'm not mistaken, he picked up Stephon Diggs in a zone and prevented a pass completion. And for him to only end up with 12 snaps, that kind of baffles me. And I'm kind of tired of watching Jonathan Cyprian whiff on every single down, just about knifing in off of the edge, getting beat to the outside. And, oh, my God, when it comes to coverage, I mean, he's just, to me, he's horrible in coverage. He can't cover the pass interference or the holding penalty on Rudolph in the end zone. I mean, geez, I guess he got some tips from Knobs and Sacks, you know, the Nasty Boys up there wrestling night or wrestling day, and I guess he was going to body slam him or something.
Yeah, the 12 snaps for Miles Jack is perplexing to me, quite frankly. I mean, at this point, when there's no playoffs on the line, I'd be playing the hell out of Miles Jack. Honestly,
yeah,
I mean, whether you think he's the absolute ultimate best option, he's your best long term option.
And the other side of that is, I just looked it up. Scooter got 23.
Right.
Well, I mean,
twice as many. I don't,
what is that?
Right.
Why?
If it were the reverse, I would think that's not enough for Miles Jack. That's my opinion. So I don't know. We're not there every day.
I had a big problem with it early in the season. At this point, you do wonder why not.
Yeah, final month of the year, you're not. It's not about wins and losses. I'm not saying they're not trying to win, and I'm not saying you're playing a clearly inferior player here. You're playing a guy who you think, with the right seasoning, is going to turn into one of your best players. Right, the guy that everyone. Everyone said if the health weren't a concern, every pundit out there said he was worthy of a top 10 selection, if not a top 5 selection.
Yeah, they have to figure out a way next year, whatever the scheme is, whatever, to have him on the field a starter's level of snap.
Right, and use him how he, you know what, I mean, I don't know what that is. Is more of a coverage guy. They've got to let him hunt and seek ball carriers.
Right.
He's very good at it.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you for the call there, Chase. As far as Cyprian goes, you know, we talked about, you can't just read the box score on Sip. If you watch a game, I watch a game, I was like, wow, I did not think Sip had a very good game. Then I looked down, what did he have, 14 total tackles, mm-hmm. 10 solos, something like that?
Yeah, I thought he played okay most of the year. I didn't think the first play yesterday was necessarily, I thought it was a tough ask for him to cover that long on that play. If you recall, the one that got beat up the right
Kyle
sideline.
Rudolph, yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough, a lot of people sort of, oh, sip. On that one, it was tough to ask him to cover that long. But his trouble areas stood out more yesterday than they had the rest of the season.
I want a strong safety who can cover a tight end, as long as it takes. I mean, it's not like they didn't put him on some speedster, you know. Kyle Rudolph's just he's a decent player. He's a nice player, but he's not.
No.
You know.
There were a couple times yesterday during that game where, you know, when you're pointing out issues that they're going to have going in the offseason, I mean, Bradford could have had 15 seconds to throw a ball a couple times. When they sent four men, it's not like they were sending a three-man rush and flooding zones or anything. They were playing man, and he had, you know, just an eternity to make a decision with the ball, including that first play that you're talking about there.
Let's get Theo in Arlington up next. A lot of calls from Arlington this morning. Good morning,
Theo.
I'm
from Arlington, Mike.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, wishing they could do better. But I was at the game yesterday, and it was good to see Jimmy get inducted. I was emotional because it was well-deserved. Secondly, it was disappointing that they couldn't get a win for him. They couldn't even get pressure on Bradford. He had a bunch of time, and he's not even that good of a quarterback. I'm like, where is the pass rush at? They didn't even get to him. And another point I wanted to make was, what has happened to Allen Robinson? He didn't even get targeted. I thought he was going to pick up where he left off from last year, and he hasn't done too much this year. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll take it off there. Y'all have
sure. All right, well, we were just talking about that. You know, Tony was just mentioning the lack of pressure. I don't know what we can add to that. They didn't get much pressure. To me, the quarterback's the most disappointing because it's the most important position. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's taken a bigger step back in their performance this year than Allen Robinson, quite frankly. I mean, Blake led the league in interceptions last year. We knew he was turnover prone. We thought that would improve as this season went on. I know he didn't turn it over yesterday, but you know, with Allen Robinson, it's perplexing. I mean, there's no daylight, no separation, to the point I'm wondering, is he secretly hurt? I mean, I don't. I think it's for his own benefit. It's mystifying.
You know, he had a big year last year.
Huge year.
A huge part of what he did was that 50-50 ball. Well, teams have clearly schemed a little bit to try to get that out of the Jaguars' game plan, to have safety help over the top, and either he, the offense, Blake, whatever, it does not feel like they've adjusted to that and had anything else that he could do to be as effective as he was on that. And if you combine that with the overall struggles of the offense and with Blake, I think it explains a lot of the numbers being down. Now, to be targeted three times yesterday for one catch for 17 does feel unusual even on that.
I don't think that includes the pass interference. Right? Yeah, that doesn't go down.
I didn't have time to look that. I think
that
you're
goes
right.
As a no play.
Right.
And in that regard.
So there were two, I guess.
He did draw, right? the especially the one, though, on the 92-yard drive that ended up in a field goal,
right,
where I felt they mismanaged the timeouts at the end of the half. He did draw that big one on third down up the right sideline.
I thought he drew a second one in the second half.
I know Marquise drew one up the left sideline.
I had him drawing three, two pass interference and a holding.
You may be right about that.
Because it was
right
amazing because he drew three times the amount of calls yesterday that he has in his career.
Right. I mean, we're shocked.
I say that not on him, but on the official. I mean, it was shocking to see him get that many calls because he just – historically hasn't.
Right. So I give him credit for
absolutely
being in position. That is something that doesn't get recognized. But even including those, it's incredibly low production to the point where I would guess that I can't imagine too many receivers that had a 1,400-yard season played the entire year the next year and had a lower yardage total than what Allen Robinson projects to have right now. I mean, he's going to have it cut in half you know, or more. That's stunning to me.
He'll have over 700.
What is he at right now?
He's like six something.
Is he? All right.
Yeah.
He better not have too many games like yesterday. It's one for 17.
Yeah, he was a couple yards still climb. Ahead of Marquise, I want to say.
All right, well, roughly cut in half. A little more than 50% of his total available. It's just not been good. So anyway, Theo, thank you for the call. A little mystifying there as well, though John did give you some of the reasons go into it.
I think those things certainly contribute to it. And it feels like the entire offense has not been able to adjust to that element being taken away this year. And that's, you know, I also think over the course of the season, the fact that in 13 games, he has, like anybody would say that he's not gotten a lot of calls, certainly hurts this offense, because I do think that teams have defended him very aggressively because of the way he plays. And when he doesn't get calls, it really affects him, because he is going to be in a physical game because of the way he plays. So if he doesn't get calls, it's really going to take his production down.
1-4, 70, 82. If I'm doing the math right here, he's had 90 yards in his last four games combined. Combined! That's stunning to me. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight. Where are you in terms of wanting to see the Jags win or lose these last few games in terms of draft seeding? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osher here with you. We'll try to take a few more calls as well at 641-1010 and a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are now 2-11 on the season and fell to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday 25-16, but there was a bright spot during halftime. Former wide receiver Jimmy Smith was inducted into the pride of the Jaguars, and he talked a little bit about his personal journey.
Well, that journey has been tough, and it's not over yet. A friend was talking to me, and he mentioned that you are an all-pro at getting back up. And that's the message that I want to spread throughout to every kid, every Jacksonville fan, every adult, everyone. Be an all-pro at getting back up, because you're going to get knocked out.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
All right, let's do this, because we got a few callers on the line. So let's get quick. If you can do it in 30 seconds or less, make your point, ask your question. We'll go on, and we'll get some of the fan feedback today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and John Osher here with you on Jaguars today. We're going to start with Jerome on the west side at 641-1010. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, bud. What's your point you want to make?
Man, I think the only way they go defense in that with the top pick is with Peppers. And then other than that, I think they should just go straight offense, whether it's offensive line, I don't care what it is. They just need to go straight offense. Maybe later on they can go defense, but right now they can just, like, look at the Giants. They built that defense through free agency, and our defense is night and day from last year. So I feel like they need to go ahead and just go straight offense. The only way they go defense is tough, even though I say the pass rusher, but still, man, look at Fowler and Yannick. I mean, we need some veterans over there. We need to just keep them where they at right now. Stop adding all these pass rushers, and just if we add a pass rusher, get one through free agency.
But Jerome, we got to cut you off because we got called. We want to keep it 30 seconds or less here. We got the point. You want to draft offense? Let me say quickly about Jabril Peppers. I'm reading this from Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, who's a very respected guy when it comes to draft and writing. He said the word around the league is Jabril Peppers is a gimmick. He ain't a top 10 talent. He's got one fluky interception. It's the only turnover he's got the whole year. And that scouts think he's the most overhyped player in this draft. So
I thought his point was going to be, man.
Just man.
which I would have bought into.
That would have been an accurate assessment.
I'm right with you.
Now, hey, by the way, Matt Miller and the people he talked to could be wrong about that.
Sure.
I'm just passing that along because you brought up his name, Jerome. Thank you. Let's get Mike on the south side in next. Mike, go ahead with your point, please.
Hey, guys. Quarterback notwithstanding, for me, it's offensive line. I want your take. So many teams seem to be able to get to the quarterback rushing four guys against our five.
I got no problem if they go heavy offensive line.
Yeah.
In this draft. I mean, I think Kelvin Beachum is going to be a starter on this football team. I think Brandon Leonard is going to be a starter on this football team. I suspect AJ can will. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Parnell has struggled this year.
Yep.
Your left guard spot's up for grabs, and I'm not 100% sure that you couldn't improve on AJ can as well. I just don't. You have a limited amount of draft resources. You can't fix everything in one fell swoop. But
I thought the line this year has done a good job of getting better from the last 2 years and giving the offense a chance to breathe a little bit, if that makes any sense. But it certainly needs to be upgraded in terms of run
ball. Still can't run the ball.
Sure.
Right. I'm
right
with you on that. Thank you, Mike, for that. Let's get Corey and Ponte Vedra up next. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I really just think that they need to trade their pick back, much like the Titans did. I know you guys were talking about taking a running back. Well, I think if they could trade back 10 to 12 or 10 to 15, either Dalvin Cook or Fournette, one of them would still be available. And then they have a few more resources in the future. What's your take on that?
Got to have a partner that wants to come up and get your pick. And that is why, if you that scenario, you better be rooting for them to lose because nobody's trading up for the fifth pick. All right? That just doesn't happen, right? They trade up for the top quarterback, the second quarterback on the board. Right now, the report yesterday is that the Browns have a sky-high grade on Myles Garrett, the pass rusher from Texas A&M. So does everyone else. Let's presume he's the first pick. Whoever's at 2, San Francisco right now, right? They need a QB. They don't have the answer there. Let's say they draft the top quarterback. Let's say that he's the only one worthy of a top 10 selection. Who's trading up for what then at what point in time? So it's great in theory. If they can find someone, I would have been honestly more aggressive than Dave Caldwell. I think Dave Caldwell wants too high a premium at times just based on I don't know what he's
probably
been offered. But you know what? He feels that it's better to have one great player rather than several good players, right? And that's fine. That's a valid point. But
better make sure the guys you pick are
great, right?
Yep.
And that's the thing.
And that's going to be the argument now is in the top five.
How many great players?
So far, one. I still think Fowler's got a shot. And I don't know about Blake.
Right. I'd be shocked if Blake turns into a great NFL quarterback at this point in time. The evidence is just not there to support that. Doesn't mean he can't be salvageable as a
starting quarterback. I do think it's way too early to write Fowler off.
I said the same earlier
today. I think this offseason is very key. He's got a lot of ability that he's still figuring out a way to contribute even though he's not pass rushing well.
John,
it's significant.
You got how many emails did you get last year telling you to cut Marquise Lee, right?
I mean, we all heard, right?
That's just a case in point. Don't give up on talent that early. Sometimes guys develop at a different rate, and Fowler was coming off a torn ACL.
You don't cut talent.
No, you don't. Right. Or if you do, you're not going to be long for the league.
Right.
Tony, would we get feedback on Twitter today if you would?
Here's what we got. Irish Jaguar said, using cold logic during the week, yes, I do want to see them lose to get the draft pick, but during the games, I want nothing more than a win. From Senior Fuentes, yes, unfortunately, 49ers didn't win versus Jets to make it more interesting. Looks like we are locked to be the third pick around now. Alvaro said, reality, yes, horrible again, but lose all the games. Why isn't Gus gone? From Demetrius, unfortunately, yes, perhaps we can get in front of plenty of quarterback-needy teams and strike a draft day deal, something we were just talking about. From Jarrell, no higher draft pick doesn't always equal success. See recent draft history. From Aussie Jag, no, because our last three opponents are divisional rivals, and I hate all of them. From Any Given Sunday, a few games ago, no, but it really makes little difference to me now. From Adam, doesn't matter where we pick, if Caldwell is the GM, only one of his first-round picks have been great. Can't say that name, but I'll read your tweet. No, I want the Jags to ruin the Titans' playoff chances. From Ryan, yes, with hopes that a new GM has the opportunity to use the picks. And from Cameron, at this point, who really cares how many top five picks have proven to be worth it
so
far?
I'll say this. You could say that now with the collection, but every year, if I gave you the choice between the 16th pick and the 15th pick, why wouldn't you take the 15th pick? Right? Gives you one more player to have at your disposal in each round.
Well, it also shows, you know, if nothing else, last year, Jalen Ramsey, he shows you what prime talent is.
Exactly.
And you don't get Jalen Ramsey at number 15.
You might not have got him at number 6.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's you don't know. And that's
and you know what? On that list, I mean, right, Mike, but on that list that Tony just read, I sort of get, you got three division opponents coming up. Fans are supposed to hate those teams enough to
got no problem with that
to want to beat them. That's what it's all about. That's what fandom's all about. That's what the league's supposed to be all about. So yeah, I get that. If you swept the last three games and beat these three teams, I think a lot of people would feel good about that and have fun those three Sundays.
You know, and
it's supposed
fine.
To be more fun than it has been this season.
I think both sides are valid. That's the point. And I don't think you can do what you want. But for me, like, I'm on the side of you're not going to the playoffs, then you're not going anywhere.
Right.
And all the rest of it's cosmetic. Give me the best pick. That's my side of it. Whereas I'm not angry at anybody or think they're crazy for saying, hey, I just want to have fun on Sunday afternoon.
Right.
It's a valid point of view as well. I just, you know, whatever side you're on, I think you can recognize the other side has some validity to it from where they come from.
The way they're playing right now, you probably don't need to worry about a sweep.
Probably not.
I hope I'm wrong.
That could be. Right. I'll just read one from Facebook. Dalton said, can we just tie the rest of our games and make the AFC South standings look funny? That'd be good, too.
I like it. Outside the box.
You know, everybody have a one, and the Jags that have a three in the tie column. That would be pretty good.
Some people would get irritated. That'd be nice.
I'm now rooting for that. That's the scenario that I will root for.
Go Dalton.
I think that will go Dalton, and I think the Jags will probably settle in. Because each tie is basically a half win and a half loss. So it'd be like you won 3.5 games on the season. That'd probably slot you in about
five. I'd watch that.
Eh, why not, right? 16 ties next year, John. Let's go 8-8 through 16
like
ties
that.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. What do you got coming up today? Gus Bradley press conference?
Mike, I'm covering the Gus Bradley press conference.
Amen,
again,
brother.
I'm there.
All right.
Whether you want me there or not.
We'll read all the feedback on Jaguars.com today. You can follow John on Twitter if you don't already, at John Osier. Thank you, bro.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let me read our thought for the day, Tony. We get one coming in. Mm-hmm. I thought this one
Oh, I got some thoughts.
Particularly apropos. Your present circumstances don't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. Oh, it seems like every one of these that we get has some application, unfortunately, mm-hmm. to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nowhere to go but up. That's one way of looking at it. And we do that next with the Midday Chalk coming up right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.